Hello and welcome to another episode of the Choose Strong podcast. We are your hosts,
Eddie and Sally.
Good job. We spent a solid 4 minutes talking about who should intro today's episode. And
you won.
On a scale of 1 to 2, how do you think that went?
That was probably a 1.
Well, I'll tell you what I am so excited about is, and this is maybe a little thing, but I like to celebrate the little things because a whole bunch of little things add up to big things. And today is episode 40. Yeah. 40 episodes in the Choose Strong podcast. We kicked this off like October of 2021. So it has just now been 2 years. That we have been doing this podcast. And our first, I'd say 2022, we didn't do a good job with consistency.
No.
We were trying, actually, we launched so much at the very end of 2021, and we were trying to figure out how to do it all in 2022. And then 2023, we finally figured that out. And I think that one thing we learned was don't be so obsessed with perfection. But just get it done.
Obviously.
Right.
Obviously, those first few rough.
No, it is. You know what's really cool is that a lot of great things happen at 40. It takes 40 days to create real change. It takes 40 days to create a habit.
Yeah,
right?
Right, yeah.
And in this case, it's taken us 40 episodes to create a rad podcast.
Yes.
And so I just want to say, Eddie, publicly, congratulations on your hard work. You are a multi-talented man, and your dedication to making this podcast better and better is very much appreciated. I mean, I know that tens of thousands of people who listen to this weekly appreciate you too. There would be no podcast without you. So congratulations on 40.
40, yeah. Thank you so much. I'll take this time to just thank you. And that's pretty much it, because this podcast would not be a legitimate podcast if you were not on it.
Do you know what you're doing right now? You didn't know that I was going to say all that because I didn't put it in the notes. I actually only have it in my notes.
I know.
I omitted it. And when I compliment you, you get really uncomfortable. Your arms like started coming in towards your chest.
That's not true.
You had this big nervous smile.
That's not true.
Yes, it's true. It's true. And you try to just deflect by saying, well, I just need to say you.
No, well, I'm being honest. Like, you can get a microphone, and if you don't have like decent content, like, you can't really call it a good podcast. And you bring the decent content.
But I could have decent content and like no one would be able to hear me because the audio would be so terrible. Yeah, I tried a couple times. Do you remember when I tried?
No, I don't.
Starting my own podcast. I think it was when we lived at our Prescott house.
I don't
on Prescott Lane here in Huntington Beach.
I don't remember. How did you do that?
Oh, I had just earbuds inside my computer because someone was like, yeah, just hook yourself up to your laptop computer and you can just like speak right into the microphone there and have a podcast. And I thought that's got to be the most janky, like that. If that's how everyone does it, then I don't want to do it that way because I want to make it great.
Yeah.
And that's really been my thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that can kind of keep me from doing stuff because I want everything to be great. I want it done right. I want it done well, which is, I think, why we work together so well. Mm. You're good at getting stuff done. And you're like, let's just keep moving, even though it's not perfect. We'll just keep moving, growing, pumping stuff out.
Yeah.
I kind of have the tendency of like, it needs to be completely perfect before we put it out.
Yeah, that's very true.
So for those, for people listening, do you identify with one or the other? Do you identify more with me or with Eddie? And maybe it's different things, because I feel like you can be like that with some things too.
Like
you want things to be completely laid out, smooth, perfect,
give
done
me
right.
An example,
our house.
Okay. Yeah.
you were just up in Bend, Oregon.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you don't know, Eddie and I moved our family up to Bend, Oregon in 2020. Mm-hmm. We bought our first house after almost 20 years of being married. We bought our first house. It was the most exciting thing for us. Mm-hmm. We're so grateful. We bought this little tiny 1,000 square foot home, and we renovated the whole thing with our own two hands. I think that'll go down, Ed, as one of my favorite seasons of our entire marriage.
Yeah. No, it was fun.
One of my favorite adventures with you.
Yeah.
You were amazing.
I was amazing.
You heard it here, folks.
You heard it here.
I love it.
I was
you
amazing.
Are. No, you oh. are.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, because same, just kind of what we were talking about, like with the podcast, you're just kind of learning as you go, you know.
100%.
Yeah, we had no, absolutely no clue what
Why
we
don't
were
you
doing.
Tell people how you learned about what to do? How'd you navigate that?
Oh, I mean, just like everybody, just Pinterest and YouTube.
Is that how everyone renovates a house?
Yes.
Pinterest and YouTube?
Yeah, pretty much. If you don't know what you're doing, yes, 100%.
Eddie built a fireplace. And we got the plans on Pinterest.
Yeah.
How many people have said, I mean, I get it. I go on Pinterest for recipes, maybe some party decorations, themes for the kids' birthday parties, not how to build a fireplace.
Yeah.
I would not think to look there.
They got it all. What else did we look on?
Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
And 3 years later, I just saw it yesterday. It's still standing. So that's a plus. It's not broken down. So that's good.
We're going to save this for another podcast, but people always ask about that story because we were only up there for a year.
Mm.
And people will know, why did you move back? Why did you move up there and move back? It's actually one of my favorite stories. It's a story of great faith and hard work.
Yeah, it's a cool story.
It's blind faith, really, the whole thing through, because at the end of it all, when we came back, you ultimately left your job as a teacher and started the podcast, the app, took over as manager, and so many other things. I mean, you do so much just in the business. I mean, it really, our whole lives changed.
Yeah.
So I really love that story. So we'll tell that story in another episode. But you were just up in Bend because our tenants moved out, and I had not seen the house since we moved out of it.
Yeah.
And I remember when we moved out, standing in the living room. I'm going to start crying right now. No, I'm not.
Don't cry.
We have people running right now. They're like, all right, Sally, come on. I need some motivation. Have we given a shout out yet to our runners, cyclists, lifters,
but
people driving?
Your ADHD can take over right now and go for it.
100%. We have to give a quick shout to everyone training. Well done. I know that not everyone has an opportunity to work with a coach, or maybe has never even had a coach, but you need to know that every time you lace up your shoes, that by the end of your session, you're a little bit stronger, you're a little bit better. And so I just want to say well done on showing up today. Now, this story going back to Bend that I do want to tell is I remember when we moved out and the car was still running. The kids were already in the car. And I was probably taking a little bit too long coming out, and it's because I was standing in the living room crying. Mm. The house was empty, and I couldn't believe that we were moving back. We were all really torn about moving back. And you came walking in to the living room, and you just gave me a big hug. And I was crying so hard, and I said, no one has ever made me something so beautiful. Mm. And you worked so hard on that house. And it was always like a dream of ours since the time we were married. We got married so young to own a home. Mm-hmm. And living here in Southern California, that's very difficult to do.
Yep.
I mean, we moved back to rent. I mean, we're still renting today. And I just remember having a hard time walking out that door. But what was so powerful in that moment was that you basically said, this is just a house.
Yeah.
It's just a house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, home truly is the people that we're with.
Yeah.
And that definitely helped me walk out the door. Because like houses, like any material possessions, it does come down to the fact that it is just material.
Yep.
It's wood and nails. But I know that when you are somewhere and you've created memories.
Yeah.
Like for those listening, if you've ever moved out of your childhood home, or if your parents still live in the home that you grew up in, and maybe later in their life they decide to move that house, you have all this sentimental
yeah, definitely.
connection to it. Like, can you imagine if your parents moved out of their house right now? That'd be kind of weird, right?
Yeah, it would. Yeah. Yeah, but going back to what you were saying about being like meticulous or very details, mm-hmm. which I'm normally not, but like when you said that about the house, I remember even yesterday, the reason why I went up there is because we have renters that moved out, and I went up there to get, you know, it ready for new renters. So there's a few things that I needed to clean up after 2 years of someone living in there. But I remember going through it and like seeing things, and I was touching up like paint, like on the walls and stuff. And I was like trying to leave, and I would keep seeing like probably something that only I would recognize, right? And I would like see it, I'm like, oh man, I got it. So I would go back and get the paint and then touch it up and then start leaving to get my stuff ready and start to walk out the door. And I see another thing. I'm like, no, I got to go back and touch that up. So I know exactly what you're saying now, because I was doing that yesterday. I'm like, no, I just have to go. Like, no one's going to recognize that little tiny speck in the corner that isn't.
Well, I remember when you were doing the molding.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, not a big deal. And you're like, no.
Oh, yeah.
It would determined. Be the tiniest centimeter of space. And you'd be like, nope, doing that over.
It would bug me. I would look at him like, I can't, I got to make it right.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, part of that is just, it's yours, right? And it's something, maybe it's something that was, I've never done before. And I wanted to like be proud of my work, right? Like, mm-hmm. this is something I've never done. I want to make it, I want to do my best. And if I see something wrong with it, I want to fix it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was probably part of it, but yeah, that was this past few days doing that stuff. It's fun.
I think there's things in life that we need to plow through and just accomplish in order to get to something better. Mm. And then there's other things in life that we're working toward where truly the lessons are in the details and the beauty is in the details. Mm. And I feel like with the house, the beauty really was in the details. You were thoughtful about every inch of that, because that was the place that we were calling home and that you had dreamed of having your whole life, mm-hmm. you know? And then I take that back to the podcast and I realize like we just needed to learn how to do the podcast. And we had so much great content that it was like, we just need to get it done.
Yeah.
And we'll be learning, you know, along the way. But if we tried to make it perfect at the beginning, we still probably wouldn't have anything to this day.
No, there's no way. Yeah.
We just
pushed record and went as we, went. But here we are, 40 episodes, right? Like that's actually, you know, speaking of, let me pull this up. I want to read this. The podcast Spotify Wrapped.
Oh yeah.
Came out.
Oh my gosh. So many people shared those on social media. That was really awesome.
I know. I thought these numbers were really kind of special. This says this past year, the Choose Strong podcast had plus 248% listeners.
Wow. That's how much we grew.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plus 209% followers.
Wow.
406% streams. And plus 74% minutes created. So like you were saying this past year, we really try to make it more of a priority. So those are pretty, pretty cool numbers. And this one might be the best. This one says that number 30, it peaked on the podcast charts for only 1 week. But hey, it was up there at number 30, which is pretty dang impressive for, mm-hmm. you know, what we were talking about, just trying to like, hey, let's just start it and see what happens. So good job. Good job.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of off the mic conversations about this when you and I do our weekly just business meeting together, talking about, and I love that we have each other to bounce these ideas off. I think people listening can understand this. Like when you have someone you can work alongside and bounce ideas off, you're just more productive and you're able to work through whether it's difficulties or kind of like hard decisions or just even creative stuff. You're like, oh, how can we do this better?
Yeah.
We had multiple conversations about how powerful consistency is.
Yep.
And I know I have spoken about it in the podcast as it relates to training. I will post about it on social media as a way to encourage other people to remain consistent. And I'd say that if you have not had the chance to listen to episode number 39, please do. It's short and sweet. Mm-hmm. It's from my heart. Part of it is based on a social experiment that I have been doing in my Instagram stories. So if you don't follow me on Instagram, I'm Yellow Runner on Instagram. And at the end of every day, I do a post called The Work. And I don't give description. I don't give reasoning or feeling or any details about the training that I'm doing. I just say what I did. And it's a very yes or no type response. Did you do the work? Yes. What did you do? I ran for 60 minutes. Great. You know, I don't need to relay how I felt, what my pace was, what the duration, where I am in my training program. The most important thing is that I showed up and I did the work. And so what has been really cool is this has started to make waves, and I am seeing and being tagged more and more in other people's stories who are starting to do that as well. Yeah. So if you want to understand where that comes from, listen to episode 39. The social experiment that I am working on is in relation to something that we're going to be crafting really cool for 2024. And so we would love for you to be a part of it. But for now, just do the work. And I think that we learned that with the podcasts.
Yep.
You just consistently show up every week. We're going to sit at this table. We're going to do a podcast. We're going to put it out. And look what happened. It exploded. I mean, quadrupled. I mean, more than that.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Well, it's funny, but it's also kind of cool to look back at some of the first few episodes when I was trying to like learn how to do the sound, but also learn how to do like video stuff. And I'm like looking back, and we just like used their laptop, like, you know, the camera on the laptop, and like just how blurry. I look at it, and I'm like, man, that's embarrassing.
Well, I think too, if you are listening, you're familiar with my good friend Billy Yang, who is a filmmaker. He is known worldwide for some of his very beautiful films. His storytelling is unparalleled. But when Billy started well over a decade ago, we've known each other for almost 15 years. Yeah, I'd say almost two decades ago, he started running around with a little janky camera. And it's been amazing to watch him develop as a filmmaker, what he used to be doing and what he's doing now. It's really incredible. But Billy didn't go to school. He didn't go to, Billy, yes, went to school. He went to college, but he did not go for filmmaking.
Right.
He didn't go to, you know, do the cinematography and the editing and the producing and the storyteller. That's just something he learned on the fly, and he just got better and better at it. So it's really cool to see where he has come from simply because he tried. And really, it's trial and error that we get better. I mean, trying is many times that's your best class, you know? I know there's a lot of cool online resources now. I mean, there's Masterclass. There is a lot of resources on YouTube, online school, online, all of that.
It's Pinterest, yeah. Everything.
Yeah, in your case, Pinterest. But sometimes you just need to go and figure it out. And I think with Billy, what he ended up doing was he created his own style, you know, because of that. He didn't let the influence of what everyone else was doing get in there and dictate how he should tell a story, what he should do. He definitely, you know, learned and had examples, but I feel like he just kept trying and trying and found different things that he liked. And now he puts out just these beautiful films.
Yep.
So I want to encourage those that are listening right now that if you are working toward a goal, and again, you know, we love to use running as the metaphor, but it's so important to understand that we have the opportunity to fail. We have the opportunity to screw up and to get things wrong, because many times that's where we learn how to be better and how to just to grow and what works, what doesn't. And I'm really great. I mean, you're not grateful and excited when you fail. I mean, obviously, it's like the worst feeling. You're like, oh my gosh, I spent all this time and I totally screwed that up. But I do feel like when you don't fear failing, when you are not afraid to get something wrong, you most often are going to grow the most and you're going to achieve the most because you just keep going.
Yeah.
And really, that's the difference between, you know, a champion mindset and someone that is just looking for comfort and safety in their life and always kind of staying in like the safe zone. A champion mindset, I mean, what is the who created electricity? Why is it
Edison?
Yeah. I think it was over 1,000 failures, right? 1,000 failures before he finally got it right. Can you imagine if he quit at 568? You know, and it's like all you need is that one time to get it right. All you need is that one thing to make a name for yourself or become really good at something or discover something or finally achieve it. And if we can just get used to telling our brains that and being okay with putting our hand to the plow and being so focused on our own work that it doesn't matter if I'm failing or I'm screwing up. I'm just every day I show up and I keep trying. You're just going to get better and better. So if you're running right now or you're on the bike, you're lifting and you're not feeling amazing or you're looking at yourself in the mirror on that treadmill or while you're lifting weights and you're criticizing yourself or you're having those doubts, I want you to remember that you are on a journey. And everything that you're feeling right now is normal. That's how you get better. You keep showing up to get stronger, to get fitter, to get healthier. And every day that you do, you're also one step closer to your goal. So let's all just be better at failing together. Let's all be better at staying consistent. I know that's what you and I are trying, Ed. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're working toward a goal right now. And I'd love for you to share a little bit about what's been going on. Obviously, I know everything that's going on, but I know that our audience would love to hear about how your marathon journey is going right now. Because I think it's very relatable. It's very relatable, and I love that I get to be here for it.
Yeah. Well, let me just put it in one sentence. It's not going very well, all right? Let's just sum it up. So I started with your 30-day challenge, and I got through most of that, like almost pretty much finished. Mm-hmm. Did something every day, 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did great on that.
Really enjoyed that just because it was easy for me to, you know, pick and choose. Some days I just went the beginner route and only did 15 minutes of whatever it was, or, you know, it was perfect to kind of get back consistent. And during that time, I had a pinched nerve, and I still have that pinched nerve, and it's given me a lot of problems. And so rolling that into marathon training has been rough.
Where is the pinched nerve?
So it's in my neck, and it goes down my right side, and I feel like numb from my pinky kind of all the way to my wrist, and actually the first two fingers, pinky and ring finger. And it's been like that for close to 45 days.
Yeah, we've been counting the days.
Yeah.
And so, what have you been doing?
So
why do you think it happened? I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to this. Here's the thing. 80% of people at some point in their life will have back pain and issues with their spine.
Yeah. Well, I went into a PT and I was like, cause I went online first and I was like, okay, these are my symptoms. Like, went on YouTube, you know, getting different exercises, how to figure out what's going on. So I started doing those. And
I thought you were going to have a heart attack because of the symptoms I found.
Remember? Yeah, you were a little nervous.
I was like really nervous. I think I even called the hospital and they're like, tell them to come in right now. And you were at a football game.
Yes, no, I was on the way to the Rams game. I'm like, I'm not going home. I'm good. I'm on my way to the game.
You were going to a football game with Isaiah and you're like, I'm not going to the emergency
I'll
room
be fine.
Right now.
Yeah.
And of course, is the worried wife. In that moment, you know, sometimes I feel like going on the internet and looking up symptoms can be really dangerous because some of your symptoms can fit like every deadly disease that's out there.
Well, yeah. What was that person that said like everything leads to like, yeah, you're dying. You're basically everything that you just ever you're dying every time.
And then like, no, I called the doctor and they're like, he needs to come in within the next 4 hours. And I'm like,
Yeah. So I went on YouTube, got all these different exercises, started doing them. I felt like they were working, you know, and then I'd wake up and it was still super painful. And I'd have days where it was like better and then it would get worse and I didn't know what was going on. So I went into the PT and had her assess me the first time and kind of this is what's going on. And she was asking all these questions, doing these little things. And she goes, you know what? She goes, I just went to a conference with, I think, 1,000 PTs. And the main keynote speaker was talking. And he says, you know what? Most all of your clients that you guys are working with have STDs. And she was like, She's like, am I at the wrong conference? Like looking around, I was like, wait, what?
STDs.
And she said that, like, once she realized she was at the right conference, he was saying that, you know, he was saying that it's sitting to death. Like everybody's coming in has these
sitting to death.
Sitting to death.
STD. STD. Oh my gosh.
Everybody's hunched over with, you know, at their desk or whatever. So she was saying that that was what I had or have. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like kids have that. I feel like yeah. You see more kids that are hunched shoulders
with their phones,
their thoracic spine, their yeah. neck. Yeah, because they are constantly on their phone, looking down at their phone. And now all school's on a little Chromebook.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's, I think she said, based on what I told her, she's like, yeah, I think that's what you got. And so she just gave me different exercises to, you know, bring back my shoulders and strengthen my back or whatever. And so I was been doing those and that still really hasn't helped. And then like a few days ago, I got this lower back, like really sharp pain. And I'm like, I'm getting old. I honestly don't know what that one is. So that one's hurting me too. And so
compensation
anyways.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
It's all connected.
Yeah. So all that to say is that you are trying to give me some marathon training plans and I haven't been able to be very consistent with them. And it's been rough. So not the way I wanted to start. And the LA marathon is in like 90-something days. And I really
right, 92 days.
Have done hardly anything. So it's one of those things
you can't
like,
say that.
Well,
I've been very impressed. The listeners need to know this. You have locked in on the goal. And we have been to the gym many times together where I feel like you're trying to do everything you can just to get some type of workout in.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at you and you're managing pain the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's really hard for me to watch, not only as your wife, but just as a coach. I'd be like, hey, it's been 45 days. We need to approach this differently because I want you to be strong and healed. And I want you to get your goal in the best way possible. So I would love to kind of just dive into that because I have surveyed, I've witnessed this so many times with athletes that they're working toward a goal and suddenly there's a sprained ankle, an Achilles injury, IT band injury, a break, something in the family comes up that just completely thwarts the training. And then there's the question, well, first there's a frustration of I think what happened with you is like you were getting into a good groove. You're looking at like 4 weeks in, like you were consistent.
Yeah.
And putting in work every day, like you were always doing something. I was like, wow, this is awesome. Mm. And so there's frustration that you've done all this work and now you are dealing with a setback. Then it's you now have to make a decision. Am I going to continue to work towards this race? Or do I pick another race? Do I not do this race at all? Do I just not race at all and just say, hey, I'll save it for another season? Or do I adjust my goals and know that, yeah, it's not going to be what I expected it to be, but I still want to cross that finish line? So I don't know if you want to kind of weigh in on what you've been thinking, because I'm watching all this, and I know you and I have had some really good conversations, but This is something that a lot of the listeners have encountered, and there's a lot of like deep-seated struggles that are attached to this. And one of them is that I feel very strongly about is having the grace to proceed and write the story that you want to tell. So know that the struggles, the setbacks, they are so real. Like, this is real life. Like, you're experiencing this. I didn't want this for you. It's making me so sad because we're trying everything, right? Like, you've gotten, you know, seen the PT, all the different treatments that you've gotten. You've been given all these exercises. You're doing everything right in order to heal this. And you're also still trying to put workouts in. So what some of the workouts you've been doing, like you've been like doing the recliner bike.
Yeah.
You've been doing the stair mill.
Bike, stair mill, like walking uphill on the treadmill. Doing some runs. The runs, I mean, they haven't been like very painful, but I definitely feel that I'm, you know, not holding back, but like it's something I'm thinking about because I feel it, but it's not extremely painful. I haven't ran since I've had that sharp pain in my lower back, though.
Right.
Because that's really different pain. But
yeah, sharp acute pain is different.
Yeah.
And that's when it's like, okay, you either pulled your back, threw your back out.
Or a compensation, like you said.
Yeah, compensation. So that's something that I know you'll be seeing a doctor this week on. But yeah, there's got to be a conversation then where, okay, are you going to redefine your goals? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I think, well, today I think I'm just going to go out for like a 15, 20 mile just run to see how I feel.
I thought you were going to say 15, 20 minutes like a test run.
Just a light 20 miles. See kind of how I'm feeling if it loosens up. I don't know. I honestly feel like it's kind of a bummer, but obviously this is life and this is the way it goes, right? When you set goals and stuff and you got to either pivot or push through, like you said. So I think, well, here's what it's been for me. Every day I wake up, I'm like, okay, maybe today it's going to be good, you know? So I keep pushing every day, like, oh, maybe today. But it's been 40 plus days where I'm still feeling pain. And so now I got to get a little more serious. But I think since I'm still 90 days out, I might give it another week or two. And just to, if I can get into the doctor and maybe find out what's going on, or maybe it does work itself out and it feels better in a few weeks. And maybe I'll keep that same goal, you know, be a little time crunch. But I think I would still want to do that one, the LA Marathon. But if not, yeah, I think maybe changing it up. I know the Orange County Marathon is local here and it's in May. That'll give me another, 4 or 6 weeks or whatever?
Yeah, that would give you another almost 8 weeks.
8 weeks, yeah. So that might be a better option. But
yeah,
that's kind of what I'm thinking at this point. So
yeah, and the Orange County Marathon is great, but I do know that wasn't your first choice. And no, so it is a predicament.
Yeah. The reason it's not my first choice is because I've ran the half before and I just feel like the full marathon wouldn't be as exciting to me. I don't know. But so that's why the LA was more of a draw. But, you know, we'll see. I don't know.
Well, also, like, you imagine it in your mind, right? I think this is important. There's so much that goes on in our head when we are constructing a goal. And one of them is wonder and imagination, which I think is so powerful and keeps us motivated and excited about working toward our goals. Like, we imagine what it's going to be like. And the last time we were at LA Marathon was when you supported me for my first marathon.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, almost like 22, 24 years ago. And that was incredible. That experience was amazing. And so, but it's been a while, and we know that's a great marathon. The course has changed since then.
That's right. We've never been back.
We've never been back. And so I think that there's a little bit of heartache in that where, okay, I got injured, so now I have to go to plan B, and I don't want to do plan B. So I'd love to kind of just play around with this scenario, because this is important in whatever it is that you're working toward. That first and foremost, you need, like I said before, you need to have and give yourself grace to proceed in whichever way to tell your own story. You do not set a goal for yourself to impress people. Yeah. I think that's a really dangerous place to be in. If you are working toward a goal in order to impress people, or you think in your mind, oh, I'm going to let all these people down, you will always be disappointed because someone will always be unimpressed.
Yep.
And someone will always give an opinion that isn't favorable. And people always weigh in with that unsolicited advice. And so imagine if we worked at being so focused on our own work and our own goals that we didn't bother with what other people are doing or how they were working. We were just supportive. And I think that we need to give ourselves that permission to have the freedom and the grace to proceed in situations like this how we want to. So if I'm putting on a coach's hat right now, if I were weighing in on this, there's a few things that I would say. One, I don't like telling athletes like, oh, well, you're done. Like, you know, maybe next year, you know, sometimes, yeah, broken femur, like, hey, we're going to elongate this goal. It's going to be a pathway back to healing and getting better and building back up. But I never like to take a goal off the table. I think that even in the setbacks is where we learn a lot about ourselves. We learn about how we respond to those setbacks. Yeah. So what I've seen with you is that you still are trying everything you can to achieve that goal. And that says a lot about your character.
Yeah.
And I think we need to check ourselves if, as soon as it gets hard, it's like, see, I knew it. Like, I'm just not cut out for this. See, I hurt my back. So I guess I don't have the body for it. I mean, I've heard that response before.
Yeah.
I just wasn't built for it. Or just, you know, this just isn't my, I'm stressed out anyway. I think that we always need to be evaluating how we respond to discomfort, to challenges, to failures, or surprises that disappoint us and learn how to work through those things. So there's a couple things that you can do here as it pertains to running. The first thing is you give yourself the option of tailoring your goal in a different way. So you could absolutely still accomplish the LA marathon. And maybe you're just readjusting your goal to, I just want to cross that finish line. I want to be out there. I want to experience the day. I want to be on that course. And so I know that I'm actually just going to run, walk the whole thing. And I'm fine with that because the goal for me is to go the distance and to experience LA. Great goal. And whereas other people might weigh in and be like, dude, if you can't do it at your best ability and run as fast as you can and like go hard, go home, why do it at all? You know, I don't know if I always agree with that. I believe in giving our best with what we have at all times. Do our best, not for people. Do your best not to impress others, but give your absolute best with what you have. And I feel this at my core, especially for new parents who are working toward a goal or people that have moved to a new city and a new job. And you're like, wow, there's a lot of adjustments and transitions. Like everything is adjusting. It's the same thing. If you experience a setback that is now going to thwart your training, you can still focus on that goal. And maybe your best effort for you, if you are managing, you know, you're slow, maybe you heal up completely 8 weeks before the race. Are you going to be in tip-top form to run the fastest marathon that you're capable of doing? Probably not. And I know you personally, Eddie, like you do have a lot of athletic natural ability. Since the time you were a little kid, every single sport you played, you were good at. And so I know your history as an athlete, and I know that even if you healed just 6-8 weeks before the marathon, you could probably still go out there and do the marathon. Would you feel incredible and run it at, you know, that top speed that you probably think in your mind you could? Maybe not, but you'd cross that finish line. And I think that's where you get to be the person who decides that.
Yeah.
You decide what you're going to be the most proud of. And then you embrace that. And you do not have to explain that to everybody. So, you know, whenever I go to a race, everyone is there with different goals and different ideas in mind about how their journey is going to be. Some people stand on that start line and their number one goal is to win. That's it. I came here to win. And, you know, we even see this in races sometimes. If people feel like, oh, I'm not winning and I'm not going to win, they drop out because that's the only goal they have set for themselves. Other people say, I want to get to that finish line no matter the cost, no matter what it takes. I don't care if I'm dead last. I want to cross that finish line. Wonderful. And other people go and they have a very specific time. So they stand at that start line, and let's say of a road marathon, and they say, I want to finish in 4.5 hours. That's why I'm here. That's what I train for. That's all I care about. I don't care if I'm, you know, 685th across that finish line. I want to finish this in 4.5 hours. So I believe that your goals are personal to you, mm-hmm. and you should be proud of them no matter what. As long as you define them, you own them, and you work toward that. So as you move forward, and if you're telling yourself like, yeah, my goal is to finish the marathon distance. My back right now is not allowing me to train in the way that I want it to, but I am actually able to still move around and get some work in, not the work that I want to, but I am showing up every day and doing work. And that's what I'm seeing you're doing.
Yeah.
Every day you're trying to do something.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation about this on the phone yesterday. Remember, I said, you know, you're in this weird in-between with your back where it's like you're still able to like go work on the house and go to the gym, but like your sleep isn't totally awesome. Mm-hmm. And I can still see you shifting even right now in your chair because your back doesn't feel great. But if it was just a little bit worse, if your back was just a little bit worse, your whole day would be different.
Yeah.
You'd be operating differently. You'd be setting different goals. Everything would just be different. Mm-hmm. But you're like on this edge right now where you're like, I can manage this. I can manage this.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the personal side takes over, where we have to respect and let people make their own choices. And sometimes that's where they learn. That's where they see like, yeah, I probably should have like not done that. I probably should have just let my back heal, chosen a different race and see what I was capable of doing. Whereas you could also proceed and say, you know what? I'm pretty stoked that despite all of that, I was still able to walk that marathon and I crossed that finish line. Mm-hmm. Even though like I wasn't able to do all the sprint workouts, I still showed up. I did the bike, I did the stair mill, and I got that thing done. And I'm stoked I pushed through no matter what. So it really is coming down to the individual. Mm. What's the goal that you have for yourself? What's the story that you want to tell? What are you going to be proud of?
Yeah. I, speaking of doing something that I shouldn't have yesterday when I was I thought of it when you were saying that. I was at the house and there was one of the vinyl planks on the floor that have like separated a little bit. So there's a little gap. And it really bothered me, right? Because it was like right when you walk in, I was like, oh man. And it was like kind of close to the wall, so you couldn't like get your body over there to push it in or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I had a great idea of kicking my foot like over and over as hard as I could to like slide it. And then about 10 kicks later, I was like feeling my back. I was like, that was not a good decision. that was not smart. But the plank is it's good now.
Oh my gosh. I think that just speaking from experience, this is absolutely how I have lived most of my life.
Yeah.
I've had races where I've been absolutely obsessed with winning. And that is the main goal. Had a great training leading up, strong focus, went and got that goal done, won the race.
Mm-hmm.
I think of my 200-mile season and doing those 4 200-mile races, also had a 100-mile race in there. And every race was a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have made that decision to say, you know what, really beat up these feet. My body isn't in the best shape to keep enduring this pain. I'm going to wait till 2024. We'll come back at it. There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, it was wanting to do what I set out to do when I said I was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing what I was capable of, not only enduring, but how I could grow in that process. And so I understand both sides. I understand both sides of working through things when we're uncomfortable, but then also working toward a very specific result and wanting to have the best possible outcome and best situation while in my training. So again, it just comes down to you being the master of your journey and choosing how you want to proceed in pursuing a goal. But I think what is true in all of it is that you just don't stop trying.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, the work is doing your PT exercises. That's the work.
Yeah.
That's actually the hardest work, is taking care of your body, slowing down, doing those PT exercises, adjusting. And, you know, you have a pretty hopeful perspective, hoping that each day you're going to feel a little bit better. So is it safe to say that you still don't know what you're going to do? I mean, what is...
I don't. I mean, like I said, I think I'll give it another week or two, and because time is running out, so I don't want it. Yeah, I want to give it another week or two. We'll see. Go from there. Yeah.
Well, we're all rooting for you.
Thank you.
Eddie James.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
We want the best for you, and I know for me personally, I want you to be healed and strong, and I want you to enjoy the journey, of course. The cool thing is there are mini marathons.
Yep.
It's a popular distance, and heck, you could even make a vacation out of it and go race somewhere really cool. But
like where?
I mean, you could go race in New York.
Huh.
You could go race in Texas, Arizona.
Yeah, I don't know.
Philadelphia.
Wait, did you run one in Philadelphia?
No.
No, that's right.
You took me there for my birthday.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, we went there.
We did the Marine Corps marathon, though. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We told that story a few episodes back. But yeah, my goal always when I train runners is to see them as strong as they possibly can be, head to toe, mentally, physically be strong. But this is not an uncommon situation where within the training, an injury pops up.
Yeah.
And we have to have that discussion of, okay, that's all right. The healing process is very much a part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the injury, the healing, building back up, that is a part of it.
Yeah.
So you get to decide now, would you like to have a little bit more time to train? That's one way. Sometimes you just have to flip your perspective. It isn't so much about the race that has to happen on March 17th, as much as I want to complete a marathon well, you know? So sometimes the pivoting comes first mentally. So if someone is training for like a 100-mile race and it's like on February 2nd, and that is like the goal, and then this injury or this illness takes them out for 3 or 4 weeks, does that mean they can't do the race anymore? It doesn't. But you do have to adjust the goals, or you can just say, hey, I'm going to get through this downtime. We'll just call it downtime. It's a character building time. And then I'm going to do the 100 miles 8 weeks later, because the goal is the 100 miles and wanting to accomplish that and getting to that finish line. There's always another race.
Yeah.
There's always another finish line when we're talking about sports. There's always an opportunity to try again, and nothing is guaranteed. We're never guaranteed to get to the finish line of these races. And I always say, in the greater meaning of all, you have one finish line, and that is the end of your life. That is the greatest finish line, and the goal is to never stop until you get there. And so, very similar to the story I had told about Holly a few episodes back, who took 20 years to complete a marathon after many, 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 many failed attempts, and how triumphant that was for her. I think it's the same thing when we are working toward any goal. It isn't, you're not a failure if you cannot get to the start line of that race that you already registered for. Maybe what you're in right now is exactly what you need to be the best that you can possibly be. And when I first started in ultras, I remember seeing a PT when I was very healthy. Well, I was working at a sports PT. And the head PT said to me, hey, let me do an assessment on you. Let me do a running assessment on you. And he told me that my hips and my glutes were weak. And I laughed in his face. And I said, no, they're not. Like, literally look at me. I was so prideful. So prideful. And he said, Sally, as you increase in mileage, the weakness that you have is going to magnify. And you will get injured if you don't take care of these things. So I ignored him, and 5 months later, I had the worst IT band injury that took me out for almost a year. And I learned my lesson in that. And since then, I've never stopped doing my PT exercises. This was back in 2010, 2011, so very long time ago. And that injury at the time was something that really crushed me, really broke my heart, because I was just starting in ultras. I loved them. I was good. I was winning. And then it took me out for like almost a year. But because of that, it taught me the importance of sticking to my strength routine, head to toe, sticking to the very boring PT exercises. And it has carved me into the athlete that I am today. And so if we can look at the setbacks in our training, in our dream journey, in that building, and realize that that doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're not built for it. It doesn't mean that you're just, you know, so full of mistakes that you're not capable of doing that you want to do. It means that there's something you need to work on to be better than when you started. And there are so many opportunities for you to achieve the big goal that you're trying to achieve. So the goal is 100 miles. It isn't always, it has to be the obsession with that race title. Mm-hmm. It is the distance of 100 miles, the distance of 26.2 road miles.
Yeah.
And there's a marathon every single weekend where you can do that. And the cool thing is that these marathons are yearly. So even if you were to take your marathon, Eddie, and shift it into one in May or June, next year is the LA Marathon is still, you know, going to be there.
Yeah,
and year after year after year. But it's, you're defining it though. Do I want to cover the 26.2 mile distance? Is that what is meaningful to you? Or is the LA Marathon meaningful to you? Because some of our listeners sign up for races because it's a vacation. It's a runcation.
Yeah.
Or they're going with 10 of their friends and they want to have this experience. And so sometimes that's genuinely why people sign up in the first place. It doesn't really matter what race it is. It's like, I just want to have this experience with people, or I want to experience this city or that race experience, that specific one. And so you defining what you want to get out of this journey is 100% up to you.
Yeah. Well, it is intriguing because it starts at Dodger Stadium, which is kind of cool.
It's so cool.
You know, and that'll probably be the closest I get to the stadium now that they've signed Shohei Ohtani. Because the ticket prices are going to be way too expensive,
right?
For me. But yeah, no, I totally get that. And that's something that I have to think about, right? Like, is LA something that is really near and dear to me? Is that why I want to do it? Or is it the marathon itself, right? So yeah, I'll probably have to think on that a little bit more in these next few weeks, decide.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So friends, how are you going about your journey? And I want you to take some time today after this podcast is over to consider that. It's easy to just sign up for a race or just say, hey, I want to achieve this in school or at work or within my family or in relationships, to just have a goal that we say. But if we don't consider our steps, if we don't consider the plan and really the reasoning behind that goal, it's easy when you have setbacks or injury or surprises along the way to even lose our way and to lose motivation and to not know how to proceed or get frustrated. So I would love for you to gift yourself with a few moments to think about the goals that you're working toward and let yourself think about the challenges that could potentially arise and how you will work through them. I think that's very powerful because it is something that you need to plan for. You know, I am going to pivot if this happens, but I'm not going to pivot if this happens. Or if it comes down to an injury or a family commitment, you want to think about every variable as you work in your goals. I think that's just going to make you stronger mentally. It's also going to reveal a lot about how you feel about what it is that you're working toward. So as always, I'm a big believer in reflection and remembrance and just meditating on the work that you are doing, and know that we are cheering for you every step of the way. Eddie, we are all cheering for you and hoping that you heal up soon.
Yes, appreciate
it. I know personally, as your wife, I've been very inspired just watching you work through it with gentleness and grace. I mean, you're being good to yourself, but also I want the best for you too, and I want you to have a smile on your face regardless of whatever goal you set for yourself.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's been frustrating, to say the least.
Yeah. I think we can all identify with that. Well, to our listeners, we just want to say thank you so much again for downloading this podcast, letting us hang out with you today. Recently, we have gotten quite a bit of mail, Christmas cards. Thank you so much for the kindness, the thoughtfulness. Eddie and I just, we just checked the mail today.
Yep.
We got a nice little pile. That was really fun.
Very kind. Yes.
And if you want to send us something and you want something returned to you, make sure you provide paid postage and we'll get that right back to you. Otherwise, know that every letter, every card really means a lot to us. And we absolutely love hearing from you. If you are training right now and you have not checked out my Strength and Run app, I highly encourage that you do. There are great mobility and stretching routines in there. There's a strong knees category in there with several sessions. These two categories are really powerful if you are in your off season or if you're working up toward a new season of training. So as you prepare for 2024, I can't express enough how important mobility is in your training. You're just going to feel better in your running form. You're going to feel better every day just moving around. Mobility is something that I take very seriously, and I'll spend 20 to 30 minutes a day doing it. And I do think that mobility and strength training absolutely help you stay stronger and more enduring in whatever it is you're working toward, whatever kind of race you're working toward. But just again, like in your everyday life, you just feel better moving around. So check out the app. It is free for a week. And so there's no commitment to it, no contracts or anything. There is a link there in our bio. If you are already in the app, thank you so much for your support, as downloading the app is the best way to support all of the content that Eddie and I put out, YouTube, the podcasts, the book, all of our social media accounts, our film documentaries, and all of that will be growing in 2024, which is super exciting.
Yes.
So,
all right. Does that do it?
I think we're going to wrap it up.
All right.
And cheering for everyone that is still running right now.
Yes.
Keep it up, you guys.
Well done. Well done. You're almost finished.
What if they're not, though? What if they're like on a 3-hour run and they're like, what? I wanted you to stay with me for 3 hours.
Then
where are you going?
You're not almost finished. Keep going. Like, what do you say to that?
You're awesome. You're awesome for being out there for
great
so long.
Work. Yeah.
No, we are rooting for you guys in everything that you are working toward. Thank you again for being here. Thank you for being a part of the community. Keep showing up every day. Do the work and keep choosing strong in all that you do.